You also, Kathy, mentioned monotherapy. Is there any clinical situation where you would use CDK monotherapy? Have you used it?
So I actually have a patient in my practice who is on abemaciclib monotherapy right now. She is a woman who's had metastatic disease for quite a long time. She was on tamoxifen in the adjuvant setting, treated elsewhere at that point, but describes that as perhaps the most awful thing she ever did, and is very clear that she will not ever consider going back on tamoxifen again. She had really striking aromatase inhibitor musculoskeletal toxicity when she was on an AI at the time of her initial diagnosis of metastatic disease. We tried two different AIs, and it really was intolerable for her. She's been on fulvestrant with excellent control of her disease, had been on fulvestrant for about 8 years when she started developing an allergy to the injections with just intense itching that initially was just after an injection and would abate, became more continuous. We stopped her fulvestrant for several months and the itching gradually got better. I tried to put her back on the fulvestrant, and within a month, she was itching horribly again, so that was really no longer tolerable. She was then actually observed off therapy for about a year until her disease progressed. She's never had a cyclin-dependent kinase inhibitor. She's never had an mTOR inhibitor because her disease had been under control with fulvestrant during the time those drugs came into our therapeutic options. Abemaciclib seemed like a really good option for her. So she just started the abemaciclib about 2 months ago, just started therapy. So I don't know yet how well it's working for her. But that's one very good example of someone who might have had the therapies in combination or had the hormone therapies that you would use in combination as monotherapy and is now progressing as a way of taking advantage of that.
That's a really fascinating case. Has she had any tolerability issues, any GI problems with the abemaciclib?
She has constantly struggled with constipation. So she's had very mild nausea that she does not really describe as very troublesome. Her version of diarrhea is she has less constipation. So she thinks that's a bit of a bonus. She does note some fatigue. There's a lot going on in her life. Her daughter just got engaged and they're in the process of moving. So it's a little tough to know how much of her fatigue is drug-related. But so far, it has gone quite well for her.
That's really interesting. What about this issue of continuing a CDK inhibitor on disease progression or using a second CDK inhibitor after progression? For example, abemaciclib monotherapy after progression on one of the other two?
So all really good scientific questions and really good practical clinical questions for which we have zero clinical data. So I have not done that outside of a trial in any of my patients because I just simply don't know how effective that would be for them. I do think someone who had more rapid progression but had delays in starting a CDK4/6 inhibitor because of working through insurance approvals and getting access to the drug, where you wonder if they really got enough of the drug to know if they truly progressed on the combination, is a reason to not be so quick to stop therapy. But I certainly don't think we have any data at this point to say this is like HER2, where you should clearly continue HER2-targeted therapy of some sort and just swap in a different dance partner.